But I'm here.
Okay.
Just that now, my camera is looking the other way. I don't know why, but I'm going to fix it soon.
Okay, no, it's fine. If, for as long as we are here. The Chief Director for Youth in the Department of Women, is she here?
With the DG, as far as I know, Dr. B.
Good morning, yes.
Oh, why are you coming?
I'm Chairperson, I'm here. I'm trying to.
Okay. Oh, okay.
My camera is on. Good morning.
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine, Chairperson. How are you? Good morning.
Morning, Dr. B.
It's only the DG that I don't see.
Dr. B, check on the DG, please, quickly.
Yes, I will.
Ngiyakubona Thami, so ilungisile lo ikhamera yakho.
Yes, Chair. I've managed to find the technology.
Yeah. We met 4 months.
Oh, ngiyambona uthi jise motweni.
So in less than a year, we married.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, ngiyakubona ukuthi emotweni. Okay. Yeah. Uthola khona i-network angithi thina sifunayo ukuthi nje ube present emithingini.
Amen.
No, it's fine. Mara somebody, khona umuntu okhulumayo ongiphazamisayo. I don't know ukukhuluma ku. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, DM, DG. CEO and CFO, we are all welcome. I've got two apologies. I have the apology from the minister who said she's attending a cabinet committee meeting, if I'm not mistaken. If that's what I read.
Yes, she's attending a cabinet committee.
Yeah, that's what she said. And Honorable Masando will leave the meeting early so that she can go and consult with her doctor. And then other members are here. Yeah, we can start. I don't know whether Makaula is in. Oh. Okay, Makaula is here, and I see here they are two interpreters. I think we can start with our meeting. We thank God that you are all fine. And this morning I was also talking to our honorable members that I think it's important that we must continue respecting the regulations that are there, wearing of our masks, because it seems like in other areas COVID is increasing. We don't know here. but let's continue to advise our families to wear the mask. And they must keep physical distance because that's how they say it now. It's no longer social distance, but it's physical distance. We must keep that everywhere we go. Even if a person you can see when you are in the bank, some people, they don't want to respect those regulations. A person will want to stand near you. So it's up to us to tell those people with keep a distance. You don't have to stand next to me the way you are doing. So, honorable members, even our communities where we stay, we need to preach that gospel, that they must honor the thing of wearing masks. It's important because it's part of our preventative measures that our regulations government have put in place so that at least our people can be able to be prevented from acquiring the disease. So with those few words, honorable members, we can then start our meeting. Thank you very much, DM, for your presence, and CFO and your CEO, CFO, and DG, thank you very much for coming. We know the frustrations that NYDA is having due to they don't have a board. So they are working alone, and another frustration that they are having, I think it's the expiring of the contracts of some of the senior managers in the NYDA. The CEO has informed me that some of the contracts he can't even extend them because according to the policy, he must do it in together with the board. But when the board is not there, he is not able to extend some of those contracts. And I have received some few calls from some of those senior managers whose contracts have expired already. And I've tried to explain to them that even myself, I cannot help because I don't know how do I help. You know, I'm not a part of that administration of NYDA, but we are doing oversight of NYDA. So DM, I think these are the things that NYDA is experiencing. So together, I think we can find a solution on how then do we assist the NYDA. According to of Kansas, we know OIM and CEO committee and then the portfolio committee, we have presented our report to Parliament, but the report was then referred back to the portfolio committee. But we did not get any terms of reference as the portfolio committee, because remember, when the report was sent back to us, was referred back to us, we did not get any terms of reference. So what we have done as the portfolio committee, CEO and DM and DG, we have discussed this matter, but what we resolved in, we said, we wrote to the Speaker of Parliament and say we were not the only ones who were dealing with this report. It was a subcommittee inclusive with the NSOP select committee. And therefore, we cannot now, as the portfolio committee, deal with the matter for as long as NSOP, they haven't presented the report to their house. But also, we don't have any terms of reference from the Speaker. Remember, all the reports that we deal with, they are being tabled and submitted to the Speaker. So it's the Speaker that refers items, reports to us on how then must we deal with those reports. So we haven't received anything in writing as the portfolio committee, but what we've done as the office of the chair, we have written to the Speaker, and we'll take it from there. But so far, that's where we are with the issue of NYDA, DM. So with those few words, I declare this meeting officially open, and you are all welcome. Thank you very much. Over to you, DM, if you want to say something, or the CEO can start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, DG, and good morning, Dr. B. Chair, thank you very much for your opening remarks. You know, even reminding us of our responsibility to ensure that South Africa doesn't follow the countries which are beginning to show shocking results about the sketch that is starting all over again. Thank you for that. And you have said a lot about the process of getting the NYDA board in place. But when I come to that section of my briefing notes to the portfolio committee, I think, Chair, I will still reflect on it a bit because it also affects us as the department. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities and the NYDA are continuously working to serve young people during these challenging times in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you for what you have said right now. As the department, we have congratulated the NYDA for achieving the sixth conservative clean audit report from the Auditor General of South Africa for the 2019-2020 financial year. The report is unqualified with no material findings. Through the shareholder performance agreement between the NYDA and the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, we now have the opportunity to strengthen the strategy and overall performance of the entity, of this entity. The agreement clearly provides for the relationship between the parties at strategic and operational levels. It strengthens corporate governance of the NYDA to ensure transparency, accountability, and sound management, while outlining how the parties will work together to ensure an appropriate balance between performance, delivery, and conformance, talking to control and compliance in order to avoid duplications of roles and responsibilities. Honorable Chairperson, to further enhance the efficiency and effectiveness of the NYDA, the department is in the process of amending the NYDA Act as part of this year's legislative program. The draft bill has already gone through the governance cluster, and we will soon present it to cabinet committees for further guidance, comments, and input. This amendment bill will be refined, resubmitted to cabinet, and be tabled in parliament. It's important to note that it deals with many of the challenges that affect the efficiency and effectiveness of the agents. We've noted that the National Assembly referred back the report on the recommended candidates for the NYDA board back to the portfolio committee, and the process remains incomplete. We eagerly wait to hear from the portfolio committee through the Honorable Chair on progress regarding the appointment of the of board members. Thank you, Chair, for already briefing us. We just want to really assure honorable members that we respect parliamentary processes, but we thought it's also important for parliament to understand the plight of this entity without a credible board. I can just share with you, Honorable Chairperson, that we had a webinar with representatives of some young people, and I remember it was the honorable member, I think it was Mel Shengwa, who attended, who connected and together with a young person from his organization. But what was remarkable is that those who were critical of the process, they really, almost like I was saying to myself, it's like they want to change the terms of reference that were advertised. They were talking about new terms completely. And that's where I realized that if we don't get a clear direction on this matter, we might end up with a crisis in our hands. But I'm grateful, Chair, that you are on top of the agenda. I want to thank the CEO, Wasim Karim of the NYDA, who is currently the Transitional Accounting Authority of the NYDA, for the good work that he continues to do in the absence of the board to ensure business continuity and governance. In the interim, as the NYDA continue to operate without a board, the CEO, who is the Transitional Accounting Authority, continues to submit monthly reports to the department. The CEO and the DG of the department also meet regularly to work together on advancing the interests of our youth. The ministry and the department are supporting the NYDA. In this regard, the department is in the process of facilitating approval by the National Treasury for the sharing of its audit committee with the NYDA. We will also facilitate approval to extend the period of the NYDA CEO as the Transitional Accounting Authority, because the term is ending now in November. On a positive note, Honorable Chairperson and members, it gives me great pleasure today to announce that the National Youth Policy 2020-2030 has been approved by Cabinet. The committee's comments were taken into consideration, and we really appreciate scrutiny as it only improves our performance. The agency has been an invaluable partner in the National Youth Policy Review process. To effect implementation, the NYDA is given not more than 4 months to finalize development of an integrated youth development strategy aligned to the NYP 2030. The department will support the NYDA in this process while also developing the monitoring and evaluation framework and tools to track implementation of the NYP within the same timeline. Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, the NYDA, we will be presenting the NYDA second quarter 2020-21 report before you today. The NYDA is continuing to function through the COVID-19 pandemic and have safely reopened all of their offices. So far, only 7 confirmed cases of COVID-19 amongst employees have been reported, and there are no deaths. We will be expecting the NYDA to collaborate with provincial and district authorities who are mandated to brief the president on a weekly basis, trends and patterns, so that the NYDA could contribute substantially with a special focus on COVID and the youth. The NYDA developed the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund as a response mechanism to COVID-19 for particularly young entrepreneurs affected by COVID-19. It also completed their State of the Nation commitment to fund 1,000 youth-owned enterprises in 100 days. $46.9 million was spent on supporting the 1,000 youth entrepreneurs. Both these groups will be reported in today's presentation. We will also like the NYDA to respond to the government's economic recovery plan and priorities so that they remain relevant and at the center of where funding is and where things is happening. The NYDA has opened its branches to young people for NSFAS applications since 15 September 2020. Last year, 120,000 young people registered for NSFAS through NYDA centers. We anticipate that even this year, the agency will continue to be a unique portal to help young people access opportunities. The preparations are being made to ensure adherence to COVID-19 protocols within these institutions of higher learning. I hope, in line with Cabinet's decision, the NYDA will cooperate with the agency Higher Health, which is working with young, with students on all aspects that are relevant, including GPV, health and well-being, so that we remain aligned and relevant. But also, in terms of Cabinet's expectation, the NYDA will put itself as the center, but mobilize all other recognized youth employment agencies. However, it's important to inform the committee that there are 21 managerial contract posts of two executives, two senior members, 17 managers that will expire by the end of this year. From the chairperson's report, it's like already the committee has been briefed or the chairperson has been briefed. The NYDA indicated that due to budget cuts, not all posts can be filled again. Instead, only 7 posts will be filled again. The CEO is going to fully brief the committee on the strategy and plans in this regard. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, let me thank you, all of you, and also Chair, bring back the chair to you so as to allow the NYDA CEO to present the second quarter report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, DM, for your remarks. And we want to thank you also that since your department is working together with the NYDA. And hopefully, you know exactly what is happening in the NYDA and the challenges that they are faced with. And outside, and by not having the board, and we can see even the way the report is done, that you know, there are issues, there are gaps there and there. And their performance also according to the targets, they have changed some targets, and we are worried that other targets were changed, and we don't know the reasons why we had that targets changed. But we're hoping that because they are here, they are going to present their report. They will explain to us on as and when the CEO is presenting, why have they changed other targets. And we understand also that there was also COVID and lockdown, but we'll have to also get what plans do they have to ensure that they are going to improve on the work that they are doing. Oh, continuing a Google screen. Okay. Yeah. So over to you, CEO.
Sorry, Chairperson. CEO just lost a connection. He just told me he's trying to reconnect, and he's just requested that I start with the presentation.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I will just share the screen, Chairperson.
Chairperson, sorry, Chairperson, please, if they can really get the CEO, because I will appreciate it if honorable members have more time to interrogate what we are presenting. It always helps us when we go back to the entity.
Yeah, no. True.
No. It's just busy reconnecting. I think he had network issues, but he's going to be joining, and then he will take over the presentation. I don't even think I'll get to maybe slide number 5, and then he'll be back on. But can I formally just greet the chairperson, the members of the portfolio, the deputy minister, and the DG, and all the other colleagues that we have on the meeting. We are presenting to portfolio our quarter two report, as it was sent to the portfolio for their review. The agenda.
I see. I don't know whether it's from his side or from your side. Network.
Sorry, Chairperson.
At the end.
I've just checked with the chief director as to what is going on. She thinks they are connecting from the crack of mankind and the connection is bad. But I was saying, surely they knew yesterday. Why didn't they move to an appropriate place? So she's working on that. She said
yes,
she's going to tell them. Okay, then.
We also have to get at the end.
Okay. Ooh, Dr. Pina, I'm sure he's phoning them wherever.
Now,
sorry, Chair. Yeah. My apologies.
Okay. What's wrong? Where are you?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I think I've got a better connection
now.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Okay.
Chair, can you just please ask IT to allow them to share my screen? I'm struggling to share the screen.
IT, may you please assist us? We need the report to be floated by from your side.
Okay, there we go. All right. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Let me greet Chair and all the Honourable Members, the Honourable Deputy Minister, and the Director General of the Department. And thank you so much for the introduction to today's presentation. Chair, as per the briefing note, this is our presentation to the Portfolio Committee on the Quarter 2 report of the NYDA. For 2020-2021. Chair, my apologies for that delay. I think all is well with the connection now. In terms of a situational analysis, we've continued to be functional on an operational basis. We've now safely reopened all of our offices. We haven't had any COVID deaths, 7 confirmed cases of COVID-19. We continue to implement workplace protocols to keep our staff safe and to keep young people safe who are entering all of our offices. We've continued to focus on the Enterprise Relief Fund and restoring all of the products and services to normal capacity. We've opened the branches and centers for NASFAS applications from the 15th of September. We've continued to support government on relief programs. We made detailed inputs into the President's Economic Recovery Plan through the NATO and Steering Committee. We've continued to work with our department, and really I must express gratitude to the department and the portfolio committee who've really continued to support us in this period that we've not had a board. Chair, a bit of a challenging item is becoming budgetary constraints. So in tomorrow's medium-term budget policy statement, the NYDA budget will be cut again by 14 million. This is to fund the COVID-19 relief, as well as the decision to provide funding to SAA. This is now in addition to the 97 million cut, which is announced in the supplementary budget in June, which takes the cumulative cut for the year to 111 million rand. Although the cut is quite significant, we will not amend the APP for 2020-2021. We will continue to work towards achieving all of the targets that we've set out in the APP. In addition, Chair, the youth employment intervention announced in SONA was also not able to secure funding for the in-year. This is mainly due to the fact around the decision to extend the social relief grants, the distress grant of 350 Rand for an additional 3 months. We are, however, having discussions with Treasury to secure funding for the new financial year, given that this year many trade-offs have to be made. In terms of our business operations, we've returned to full capacity at all our centres except 8, which do not have sufficient space for social or physical distancing, and those centres listed there operating at 50% capacity. All offices are now successfully reopened to the public. In terms of the audit outcome, as DM alluded to, we've received 6 consecutive clean audit reports. For the 2019-2020 financial year, we achieved 23 out of 24 planned targets. That translated to a 96% performance achievement. We reported irregular expenditure of 171,000. That was 0.03% of our total expenditure. We conducted an investigation into the matter. The employee who was involved in the procurement process failed to declare a conflict of interest. We have subjected that employee to a disciplinary process, and they had pleaded guilty to the charges. We suspended the employee for 3 months without pay. We docked them salary of 150,000 and replaced them on a final written warning. No fruitless and wasteful expenditure was incurred during the 2019-2020 financial year. We are preparing the annual report for tabling in November. Our auditors are just checking the annual report for consistency. In terms of key programs, our main response to the COVID-19 was the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund. We have thus far received applications about 8,500, approved just over 1,000 applications, and approved funding of 8.4 million. There was a parliamentary question requesting the list of all beneficiaries, to which we provided a full answer. As part of the SONA commitments, there was a commitment to develop a national pathway management system. A pathway management system as a platform between Harambee, the NYDA, the South African Labour Development Research Unit, TEPA 1 million, and the Department of Employment and Labour. Even though there was no funding allocated, we still made it a commitment to complete the national pathway management network, which includes a MOBI site, which will be a data-free platform. This platform will allow young people to build a profile for themselves and be connected to opportunities, economic opportunities, closest to where they live. We expect the SAYouth.mobi to go live during the third quarter, somewhere around December. We've also completed the SONA commitment for the 1,000 businesses in 100 days. We are in discussions with the different stakeholders to see whether we can run another 1,000 businesses campaign in the same time frame that we did last year. The NASFAS partnership is running quite successfully. Young people are registering on a daily basis for NASFAS through NYDA centers. I haven't picked up any real issues associated with the program thus far. If we go into the detail of our quarter two performance, we've met 10 of our targets. We've met and exceeded 5 of our targets. We've not met 5 targets, and 5 targets were pushed out to quarter four. That was in the APP that we submitted to Parliament. So currently we're sitting at about a 75% achievement, although we have a lot of targets that we need to achieve during quarter three and quarter four. At this stage, we're satisfied with our performance, and by the end of quarter three, we're expecting to be somewhere closer to a 90% achievement. If we look at the detail of the targets on program area one, which is administration, we've produced one quarterly management report. The annual workplace skills plan is a target which is applicable in quarter number four. We've achieved the target to produce and implement an annual procurement plan and produce quarterly reports. We've not met our target for value of funds sourced from public and private sectors. The target was 20 million. We've achieved 12.6 million. It is challenging raising funding in this environment. Everybody seems to be cutting back, but we keep pushing. I'm confident we can still raise the 60 million. There's good projects in the pipeline. It's just getting the right partners to sign on the dotted line so we can raise more money for youth development. We've also implemented one CETA partnership. And now that the skills development levy is back in place, we think the CETA partnerships will also start coming through. We've already signed one partnership with a technology company, and although that target is only applicable to quarter three, our reviewed ICT and staff plan has been approved by EXCO. We've reviewed and implemented our integrated communications and marketing strategy, and our NYDA strategic risk register is a quarter four target, which is achievable. As we move into program area two, which is design, development, and delivery, on the target for number of youth-owned enterprises supported with financial interventions, we've achieved 1,400. Number of youth supported with business consultancy services has not been achieved. We have some technical difficulties with the program, although we've gotten all back on track, and that target should start to being achieved from quarter three and quarter four. The number of youth supported with non-financial business development interventions is 88 against a target of 145. We've created and sustained 1,740 jobs against a target of 1,100. We facilitated jobs placements of 823 versus a target of 235. In terms of number of young people capacitated with skills to enter the job market and number of young people capacitated with skills to participate in the economy, those are our main training targets. We had pushed all of our training targets into quarter three and quarter four in expectation that the regulations around having more people in the training centers would come into effect in quarter three and quarter four. Because that happened a little bit earlier, we've already achieved 42 and 302 on those targets, so we've started to get a little bit ahead of where we should be. In terms of the National Youth Service Program, the communication and marketing strategy, those targets are only applicable in quarter four. We've registered 25 new National Youth Service projects. We've delivered on 20 new partnerships for NYS programs. The Presidential Youth Service Program has been designed and approved. The Higher Education Youth Service Program was pushed back because of the delay in the sector of higher education return. We have produced a draft document, but we are still consulting with relevant stakeholders. In terms of the research and policy, we've conducted one customer satisfaction survey. We've conducted the program evaluation is applicable in quarter four. We produced a report on annual government-wide priorities also in quarter number four. And we've produced two youth look outlook status reports up to the second quarter. And we'll continue to do those on a quarterly basis in response to the quarterly labor force survey. If we looked at sector achievements, the grant sectors, we continue to see good progress on manufacturing and agriculture. Agriculture in particular, small-scale farming is really producing good results, and our work with the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform is yielding good results. In terms of age, our uptake on the grant program is still mainly in the age group 26 to 35, and we're getting close to achieving gender parity. It's 49%, 51%. In terms of the relief fund, the majority of relief was provided to services businesses because they were probably the hardest hit during the lockdowns. And the distribution across other sectors is fairly even in terms of distribution, although retail we see is a little bit higher than the other sectors. In terms of spatial distribution, we are not necessarily achieving fair spatial distribution across provinces. There is a challenge, particularly in the Northern Cape in the Northwest. The Northern Cape has lower economic activity than the other provinces. Northwest, we're looking into the capacity of our branches, into why the figures seem to be lower than the other provinces, but generally the highest figures are always represented in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Relief fund by gender, 53% male, 47% female.
We keep pushing CEO, who is Thembalethu here? Yeah. Who is Thembalethu? I see somebody as Busise Sithole, Thembalethu, McDonald. Who are those people? Who is Thembalethu McDonald's and then the other one? Yeah, who is that? Nelisa. Who is that person?
Usibusiso Sithole is an interpreter for isiZulu. I don't know who the other one. I'll find out.
Why not tell me names? You must send me names of people who are in the meeting. Don't just add people in the meeting that I don't know.
I'll do that, Chair.
Okay, sorry for that, CEO.
Not a problem at all.
You can continue.
If we look at the relief fund spatial distribution, again, the Northern Cape and the Northwest seem to show up as lower provinces.
CEO, you can continue. I don't know why you look like you have frozen now.
Oh, can you hear me, Chairperson? Chair? Chair?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good.
I can hear you.
All right, great stuff. In terms of the relief fund spatial distribution, again, those two provinces, the Northwest and the Northern Cape, seem to show up as lower distribution than other provinces. And we're looking into how we can support both the branches and the province in expanding relief to those provinces in particular. In terms of our job placements per sector, the government sector remains one of the most key in terms of helping us with placement. This is in relation to teachers' assistants, community healthcare worker programs, expanded public works programs. And then we've shown distribution on other sectors for the job placements program. In terms of job placements by age, our job placements is also favoring the age grouping 26 to 35. Younger people on the spectrum 18 to 20, those without experience continue to struggle, although we continue trying our best to break down the barriers that young people face. The job program also seems to favor females 76% versus males, which is 24%. In terms of spatial distribution, it's very uneven in terms of the provinces. This is very reliant on opportunities which arise in the different provinces, and we're looking into how we can support the provinces which have lower jobs numbers into getting more placements achieved in those provinces. Chair, I will then hand over to the CFO to run the presentation on financial information.
Chairperson, I would like to just apologize. The network
but is my also I think there's a problem because it also takes me out of the meeting. Nelson. Katifa?
I will check with them because it's also taking me out from the meeting. I will message
it
them.
It takes me out of the meeting. CFO. Honorable members, can you hear me?
Yes, Chair. We can hear you.
Are you experiencing what I'm experiencing this time? Because it takes me out of the meeting.
No, Chairperson. I think maybe it's your network.
But it's taking me out. It's disconnecting also CEO and CFO. So it's a problem. Is it sabotage or what?
But when I see a gozo.
Nyangizo manje mara. U CFO no CEO. They are here by kicker out.
Chair, I'm connected from my side. Can I continue with the financial information?
Yeah, continue.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So in terms of the quarter two revenue, we had a budget of about 258 million to come into the organization. Thus far, we've had about 256.4 million. It's about a 1% deviation, mainly on the donor income side, although we do expect that will start to catch up in quarters three and quarter four. In terms of expenditure per program, on the economic participation program, we've spent 68%. On the jobs program, we've spent 75%. On the national youth service program, we've spent 21%. On access, we've spent 99%. On research and policy, we've spent 13%. On administration, we've spent 100%. On employee costs, we've spent 99%. And on CapEx, we spent 107%. That translates into 166 million rand of spending versus a budget of 194 million, which is about 86% spend at the end of quarter two. In terms of expenditure by nature, we've listed the expenditure in terms of all of the line items, a cumulative spending of about 69 million on goods and services and about 91 million on employee costs, 5.6 million on capital expenditure, total expenditure of about 166 million. In terms of donor funding, we've had money come in from the Services CETA, Department of Small Business Development, Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, the Flemish Government, the Industrial Development Corporation, and the Prince's Trust in the United Kingdom. Total donor funding is 30.6 million. About 10 million has been spent up to the end of quarter number two, Chair. In terms of COVID-19 expenditure, we have disclosed the detailed list of all procurements of personal protective equipment. This was mainly done for our staff members, although we keep a little bit extra for a young person if they walk in and they don't have a mask. We need to ensure we have enough sanitizer to last us the rest of the year. The Auditor General audited all of our COVID-19 transactions as they were requested by the Treasury. No findings were raised. All COVID-19 expenditure has been reported to the National Treasury as well. We've included there all of the COVID-19 expenditure accumulated to about 1.3 million. We've added everything up. We've shown the total quantity that we procured for sanitizers, thermometers, face masks, aprons, wipes, gloves, face shields. We've shown the price that we paid for those things and the National Treasury price. There's only one or two items like wipes and floor dispensers where National Treasury did not issue a guideline price. So we've indicated all of the COVID-19 expenditure and reported it to National Treasury. No real findings have been issued to us. The only item I know that we spent more than the National Treasury price was cloth face masks, and that was because we branded it with the organizational logo, which added some extra costs onto there. But it's very good because sometimes if somebody sees you with an NYDA mask, young person in the shopping malls, you can give them some information on NYDA. In terms of distribution of procurement, I think it was Honorable Masiko who asked me in the last meeting for distribution. So 36% went to youth-owned businesses, 23% went to youth and women-owned businesses, and 41% went to black-owned businesses. 96% of all of the procurement was to black-owned businesses, and 4% was to others. Yeah, in terms of human resources, I think you alluded to it in your opening statement. I am a bit concerned by this because management contracts in NYDA signed for fixed term periods of 5 years, and in 2020, about 21 of these contracts will be expiring. 17 are at management level, 2 are at senior management level, and 2 are at executive level. In terms of the legal advice that we've received, we are developing a macro structure. The macro structure for posts which have become vacant as a result of expiry of contracts must be openly advertised and filled through a competitive process, and we want to make sure that is done before the Christmas break in December. Thus far, 2 executives, 1 senior manager, and 2 managers have left the organization, and the remainder are scheduled to exit in October and November. Chair, there's 2 real items that concern me as it relates to the end of the management contracts. You know, given that I've presented the 111 million rand cut in this year and future projected cuts from Treasury, we may not be able to fill all of these posts. Our estimation is that 7 posts will be able to be filled, and that would mean effectively 14 employees have been let go. And there's also the ethics of you know, people's contracts coming to an end in the middle of a pandemic in what is a very difficult labor market. The second point is that the CEO can't fill executive posts, given that the NYD Act is fairly clear that executive posts must be appointed in consultation with the board of directors. And I think you alluded to that in your opening statement as well. In terms of the outstanding matters, we've worked closely with the department on the NYP 2030, and I think it's important to acknowledge the work done by the department in ensuring the approval of the NYP 2030 at cabinet level. We'll work together with the department to complete the integrated youth development strategy in the scheduled deadline of 4 months. We're working with the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Land Reform, the AgriCeta and the Land Bank on the release of state land, the training of youth in agriculture, and the funding of youth enterprises in agriculture. One of the items flagged was support to small-scale farmers in the economic recovery plan. And we're also part of the NADLEC discussions on the deregulation of hemp and unlocking the hemp industry for the benefit of young people. We're also looking at establishing a special fund in our grant program, which could fund hemp type of projects, so young people are adequately positioned to take advantage of this sector once the deregulation bill is analyzed and passed. So thank you very much, Chairperson. That then brings me to the end of the NYDA presentation.
Thank you very much, CEO. Where is the CFO?
I'm here, Chairperson. I'm just having my network is a bit unstable. I don't know if it's the weather, but I keep going in and coming in and going out. But I'm here to take questions, Chairperson.
Okay. So we are done with your presentations.
We are done. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We are worried as the portfolio committee, CEO and CFO, that you have changed some of the targets. So in some of your outcomes, you have changed the wording in your outcomes, and we don't understand why have you done that. And you'll have to explain to us in some of your targets, because when we look at them, where there was one in one of the graphs where you showed that you were supposed to have met maybe 20 targets, but when we read that graph and your report, somewhere, somehow it does not, doesn't make sense to us. So you'll have to explain all those things. We know for the fact that in quarter one, you were also affected by the lockdown, but also we are expecting now that you must give us your plan, on how then are you going to mitigate the targets that you haven't met, and you are going to do what? The other worry that we are having as the committee is that due to some of the contracts that you will, some of them they've expired, some of them are going to expire, and what plan do you have in place so that you are not found not knowing what exactly is you are going to do? There must not be a gap. I'm also worried that now we, with those post 21, I think it's 21 or 22, you are saying you are going to be able to fill 7. So that means 14 people will be out of work. And then in terms of the jobs that they are doing in your department, what is it that you're going to do now, and who is going to do that? Aren't you anticipating problems, maybe, so that at least if the DEM at least is here, and so that we can on how are they going to assist you? And because we didn't get a proper explanation as you were presenting the report, I don't get the reasons, some of the reasons of you changing your targets. Maybe let me go straight to honorable members so that they can also talk to your report. But I want you to look at the issues that I'm raising now. I don't know which one I'm going to put in some sentences. Abantu be-IT nelisa batheleni ukuthi ngiphendulile mos. So that we know exactly whether you have difficulties or you are going to experience difficulties outside you not having a board. But we also want to commend you on the outcome audit outcome from the AG's office, that you still got an unqualified audit report without matters of emphasis, according to what also the DM have said. I now hand over to honorable members so that you can engage honorable members on the report. Can I get hands? So akho umuntu ofuna ukukhuluma?
Ikhona cha mina khandi andiyibone that thing ye hand up platform.
I see honorable I see honorable Sonti, honorable Songo, honorable Sheriff, who else? Honorable Masiko, Babu Ngobo. Pele.
Chair, myself. Sorry, Chair. Good morning.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got a problem with my gadget. It doesn't show you a raised hand.
Okay.
I'm using a small phone.
Nami, Chair.
Okay, let me write Honorable Mpiti Strongo.
Thank you, Chair. Can I go?
Let me finish writing. Okay, go back. Mpiti, you can continue.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, ungitholile mina?
Yebo, ngokuzwile ma.
Okay, Sithandwa Sami. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chair, and a very good morning to all honourable members as well as the NY. My first question really is going to lead off with the question that you asked, and it's quite similar. When looking at the overall of the NYDA, in particular in slide 13, we see that the total there is 20, but in the table, it then states that it is 16. So there's obviously a clear nominal figure with a number there, and we need to understand why that is, and what is the reasoning for such a mistake, for that matter, why it had taken place, or at least if there's some clarification as to why it was like that. The other thing, Chair, that I wanted to ask is in regards to the relief fund, and is to say that, you know, the last time the NYDA came to the city, they did alert us to the concern of assisting particular young entrepreneurs who find themselves in the informal sector. These young people were not able to benefit from this particular, the microenterprise relief fund. And so I just want to know what mitigation factors have they put in place to ensure that those particular young people are not left behind. And in particular, young people who don't have the formalized information that is being required in order to receive this particular fund, but do have businesses and do have businesses that are either operating in, you know, in the township, operating wherever they find themselves in, but are not formalized. What mitigation factors have been put in place to help those people? Because they are also a huge group of people who are contributing to the GDP of this country. And so I think there has to be ways in which we mitigate how we're going to assist, or at least we must have found already ways in which we are going to assist those particular young people. The matter on the hemp, I just want to really commend the NYDA on that issue, because I do think it's a very, very important matter. We need to be moving into the green economy as a country, and I think it's great that the NYDA has decided to champion this and to ensure that the many young people who find themselves within this sector can actually benefit and contribute to the economy. So I do think there's a lot that needs to be done in that front. And I think it's a really great way to... The next one, Chair, is really just to... It goes to the Deputy Minister, because the Deputy Minister mentioned in her address that recently. And so I just really want to understand from that process, the approval by Cabinet, can we also have a report of all the consultations that have taken place? We do appreciate the fact that the department did extend that process so that more young people can be included in those discussions. But can we understand exactly from a timeline perspective where that process is and what needs to communicate to our constituencies? The other matter, Chair, that I wanted to, in regards to what's this thing? In regards to the relationship again, I want to know from the NYDA side and the department side, particularly the director who is looking at youth from a part of the department, I'd like to understand what is the role and the relationship between the NYDA and that particular sub-directorate. What exactly, you know, are the synergies that are taking place within the department and the NYDA? Because I do think sometimes we do move without each other and we end up in silos. So I'm really interested to know from the department's perspective, how that relationship is, and what type of partnerships have been working and not working between the NYDA and the department. Chair, I'll stop there for now. Thank you.
Normal.
Yes, Chair, hi. Thank you very much, Chair. We are Niva.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me welcome the report from the NYDA. Even though there's no NYDA board. On the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund and 100 Businesses in 100 Days, Chair, by when will the NYDA publish the list of all beneficiaries to maintain fairness and transparency? And also, what was the outcome of the report submitted to the President regarding the 1,000 Businesses in 100 Days campaign? On the Economic Recovery Plan, what was the NYDA's contribution to the economic recovery plan, and how will the NYDA give effect to the economic recovery plan? And what specifically is the NYDA doing in terms of release of state lands, training of youth in agriculture, and funding of youth enterprise in agriculture? And lastly, Chair, also to ask the NYDA to strengthen their communication systems, especially in rural areas, as Honorable Mpithi has mentioned. It is quite a problem. Most of the information in the rural areas where we are from, it's still to date, even when the lockdown is eased and whatnot, the information is still scarce to the young people in rural areas. So they must use other media platforms, especially radio. I think it assists better than these ones of internet and data. Thank you very much, Chair.
I think Honorable Chair, they did submit the list of beneficiaries. Unless Honorable Members didn't receive it, but I think there was a list that was circulated by UNELISPA on people, the youth that benefited from NYDA. If my memory serves me well, unless
noted, Chair, I'll check my emails.
Okay. Mpithi, may you please lower your hand? The next person is Mamsonti.
Bonge Chairperson, and Bulele. A presentation from the NYPA, also from UDM. Dibonge, my input work. Chairperson, my concern is on NYPA, which has got a no board for so long time. Why you can operate, Chair, without being monitored? And you say then, you congratulate again. So I don't think it's good at all. So the work has been done so good whilst the South African youth, it's more worse suffering, not employed, not having access in any way, short of skills and businesses. Chair, when you're talking about NYDA, we are based on our youth, our kids. Let's not dodge or hide the struggle of unemployment of high on our youth. These achievements you are talking about, I'm not really satisfied at all. This thing is happening in this department. Is that only a cut and paste chairperson? And there is also nowhere to be found these services you are talking about in the rural areas, more especially. And I can just question why. In the successful you are talking about the department, about the youth. The youth is dying day by day. But up to so far, there is no one who is talking about it. It just happened and passed. And why are Pela Chairperson the youth? Chairperson the youth is facing a real challenge under this government of us. And imali is machetangazo, the expenditures as nkulu. Zingamanani makhulu ne was in this COVID-19 period. Kodwa kubonakala ukuba zenzani. Yabona Chairperson. So makungenziwa ngathi izinto zilungile zingalunganga Chairperson. Ngiyacela enkosi kakhulu. Thank you.
Mamsonto, we need to comment NYTA where they are doing good. If they have received an audit outcome from the AG's office that says they have an unqualified report with no matters of emphasis, it's a good job to think they are not having a board. It's not easy to achieve an unqualified report, especially when you don't have that governance structure, which is the board. So where they are doing good, we need to say it. Where they are not doing well, we need to say it. We can't just brush everything with a black paint as if there is nothing good that is happening. The concerns that honorable members want to raise, it's good. Like what Honorable Mpiti was saying in terms of the hemp, it's a good thing. It's an achievement. So we can't behave as if there is nothing good that NYDA is doing. But when we criticize them, we criticize them in order to also advise them on how to achieve the good things. So it's not that konke gubi. And again, kumuntu otama honorable members, anga raise ama questions where we have concerns. They need to respond to that. All of us, we know what we have, a high rate of unemployment in our country, and we are depending on the Department of Women and the NYDA on how then do we put plans on to make sure that our youth is being employed. We create opportunities, business opportunities, employment for young people. Remember, it's not everybody who wants to have business, but those young people who want to be assisted by NYDA, it is the responsibility of NYDA and our Department of Women to assist our young people. So on that note, I call Honorable Masiko to come in. Honorable Masiko, I'm reading my list.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm experiencing a bit of a network problem, Chair, so I'll just request to proceed and not switch on my video because it affects the quality of the sound and everything else. Chair, I'm covered on the issue that Honorable Mpiti had raised on the Youth Micro Enterprise Relief Fund, and Uthe had also picked up on it. One would also like to the portfolio committee to full report, you know, the close-up report that was or has been submitted by the NYDA. Specifically, Chair, because I think it would be of keen interest to also process in terms of the nature of the businesses that have been there. But equally so, one would have an interest in relation to the number of young women that have benefited. So I think the closeout report will be able to assist the portfolio committee in processing in terms of the nature of businesses, you know, what young people have been engaging in from the 1,000, how many young women have benefited. So we'd request to get the full report. Chair, I'd also like to go and deal with the issues of the follow-up matters arising from the meeting that we had with the NYPA on the 25th of August 2020, where we were receiving the report on the fourth quarter, 2019-2020, as quarter report, that as the portfolio committee, we had resolved in that meeting that the NYPA, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, must coordinate a process of public comment on national youth policy process. That meeting, Chair, of the of August also resolved the NYPA should work with the Department of Rural Development and Agriculture to assist young people in the agriculture sector. Another resolution that rose from that meeting had dealt with the issue of the NYPA assisting youth to register in programs for agriculture and rural development. The last one that one would like amongst the other resolutions that we had spoken about was that the agency, we urged the agency to look at ensuring an equitable distribution of funds per province to support youth entrepreneurs. Now, Chair, I would like to, as a follow-up, get briefly from the team as to what progress has been made in implementing these resolutions. And also, one would like to know what the status of the National Youth Policy 2030 and the NYPA Amendment Act is, because those are issues that we had dealt with in the last meeting that one would like to or has a keen interest in relation to getting a progress on. One was stopped there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Honorable Sheriff.
Good morning, Chairperson. Morning to everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I think I've been covered mostly by fellow members, so I won't rehash into that. I just wanted to speak about and raise my concern on the high targets that is set for annual targets versus the amount of targets that have been reached between the first and the second quarter, noting that there's only 6 months left of the financial year. I know that the NYDA will be able to reach these targets, but I wanted to find out if they can share with us what their contingency plan and mitigating factors are to ensure that this happens. I also noticed that there was an overspending of the CAPEX budget. I just wanted to find out why this is and what was it spent on. And get more information on the SAYouth.mobi. I also just wanted to speak on what Honorable Mpiti said about the cannabis issue. And I think it's really great that the NYDA takes suggestions from this committee. It shows that there's a good collaboration and a working environment when we are able to see things actually happening. Having said this, I wanted to speak to the NYDA about what mental health or how has the NYDA been thinking about providing better access to mental health practitioners, given that COVID-19 has seen such a devastating effect, especially on young people, especially on young women, that is indeed in need of assistance. And the NYDA, we have spoken about this previously, and the NYDA said that they will go back and have a look at it. And I'd just like to get some update and feedback on what's happening with that, as I think this is a very important aspect that we need to look at. Also, if we look at the KPIs, I think it's been touched, but some of these KPIs are very important, specifically looking at interventions for businesses and funding for businesses, and noting that lockdown had a impact on many different sectors. Just what exactly does the catch-up plan look like and what does it entail? And I do wish the NYDA, like young people, are in need of assistance. There are too many young people in businesses that are struggling, especially given COVID-19. There are too many young people struggling to find work. And I think the NYDA has a very important role to play. So Yes, Chair, I'll end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff. Honorable Mamkaula. Mamkaula. Mamkaula, Ulasegi, Honorable Mkweba.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to the Deputy Minister and also the NYDA. Let me then acknowledge the presentation from the NYDA Chair. But however, I won't be long because Honorable Members has also raised some of the questions. But my question, Chair, is on the program expenditure for quarter one and quarter two, 2020 and 2021, especially on the National Youth Service. Because when I looked at the presentation by the NYDA, there is a spending of 27% on the NYS, and that has then decreased to 21%, Chair. Then my question to the NYDA is that what were the reasons for the poor expenditure for the National Youth Service, the research and policy? And what are they going to do to change this percentage reflection for the rest of the financial year? And also again to the table three, can the NYDA, you know, clarify the committee why they have also over expenditure for their CAPEX? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkweba. Honorable Mamkaula. Mamkaula Mangabui, Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members and to the NYDA. I have been covered by honorable members. I just have two questions. And the first one is, I just want to find out why the NYDA only spent 10% and 13% for youth training and project disbursement. So, and I would also like to know how the NYDA is going to correct this in quarter three and quarter four. My last question will be on the, Chairperson, in 2015, the Minister of Labour approved or gazetted the Code of Good Practice on Employment of Persons with Disabilities. And in terms of this code, an employer should circulate job advertisements to organizations representing persons with disabilities. And so I just want to find out from the NYDA, if whenever they fill their vacancies, they are also able to circulate the advertisement to organizations that represent the interest of persons with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Babu Ngobo. Mamusengwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was experiencing the networking, but I think I was covered with the honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma. Ma'am Kaula. Honourable Maluleka.
Chairperson, I think I'm covered, and maybe let me just welcome the presentation and also commend the NYTA for their good performance in terms of the financial management. And maybe just to ask, when they did not meet the targets in the first quarter and the second quarter because of the problems that we know of the COVID-19, what is their plan to ensure that targets which were not met in the previous quarters are going to be met by the end of the financial year? Do they have a plan to ensure that all those targets that they did not meet, they are going to be met? Because if they are not met, I think they are going to have a financial implication. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, also maybe to add on that one also is that where they have overspent, they've exceeded their targets or their spending, how are they going to mitigate that? Honorable Kaula. Mam Kaula.
Thank you, Chair. I network with you.
Okay.
Into the bedroom. Ngibonge Chair and ngibonge ne presentation. Hayi okuningi sebekushayile bakithi ozakwethu senginokumbalwa nje ngizobe sengishayela khona isipikile. Ikakhulukazi ngikumhlonishwala uKarim. Ebengifuna ukwazi ukuthi khona lana engibone khona kuma-percent lana athi i-Eastern Cape kufika athi 8%. Waphinde wathi 13% ngamanye amazwi into ezenzeke iyouth ekwazi ukuthi kwazi ukubenefitha khona. Umbuzo wami-ke la wokuthi-ke emhlonishwa wami sihlalo. Ngabe ibaphi le youth akhuluma ngayo i-Eastern Cape, ngabe mhlawumbe bagcine emalokishini or bayalwenza yini indlela yokuthi babheke ukuthi le mali noma lezi zinto abathe aziye kuleyo ndawo ziyile ngempela noma sihlala. Kugcina la kuthiwa endaweni ethize senza ukuthi zibe ngayile. Ngishiso ukuthi sihlalo wami laphana nje edutshwa kompasha abantu bakhona i-most ye-Eastern Cape yonke emakhaya. Iyouth yakhona akukho lana ebonakala khona ithola something. Lakhi njengokuthi nje njengoba sikhuluma nge-COVID-19 ngabe siyibonile phela nayo ibenefitha ikwazi ukuthi itrainwe nayo ikwazi ukuthi inikezwe imishini yenza yamalento ama-maski, ama-gloves, sanitize. Khona lana akhuluma khona ngo-1,000 le amaplani okuthi intsha ikwazi nayo ukubhenefitha kule nto emsebenzini as COVID-19. Umbuzo wami la bantu basemakhaya bona ngabe babalwa kanjani ngoba i-most bonke emakhaya akufikeleli. Yes, khona ngeke silwe naye kakhulu kodwa umbuzo wami uthi ikhona indlela yokulandelela ukuthi lezi zinto ziyile ngempela yini kulabantu nami ngoba even nala emadolobheni esikhona emhlonishwa wami izinto zigcine ingafiki kodwa mase bebhala phansi sithanda sami babhala ezifu bayile kuyimanje kuyilento ye-relief funds kunabanye abangakaze bayithole nhlobo angiphathi-ke emakhaya ayikho ngoba even le nto ye-COVID-19 bayakutshela kahle la bathi thina siyayizwa nje ikhulunywa emaredweni asiboni lutho Chairperson hlezi ngichaza la ngithi emakhaya akufani nasemadolobheni yingakho uma kufanele ngabe benza amaplani okuthuthukisa intsha emakhaya nabantu abakhubazekile okwabo kulula ngoba imhlaba ikhona ekhona le uthole ukuthi indawo enkulu kuthiwe yakandaba labo bantu bangakwazi ukuthatha intsha ihlangane lapha yana ibiyelwe inikezwe mhlawumbe izinkomo mhlawumbe yimbuzi ikwazi ukuthi ibenefithe bathengele imishini bathunge ngoba i-youth iney'nkinga kangaka nje izingene ezidakamizweni enye iziyibulala yingenxa yokuthi ayinakiwe ngisaphinda hlalo sinenkinga yokuthi izinto esixoxa ngazo mntanami nabo laba abaphathi phezulu bebhodi banenkinga yokuthi bona bezothola ukuthi bazi ukuthi zili izinto azayila zwana ngathi ke thina esiyayo phansi kubantu ukuthi lezi zinto aziyinhlobo okunye lasihlalo sami esihle yilama target anjalo othi mangabe sikhuluma ngawo uthola ukuthi ebe i-target bithi 10 kwazothi lo 10 u 5 wasala ulenga ukuthi njengoba usuku lenga lezi imali esuke kade iplanelwe ukuthi zokwenza lo msebenzi sigcina zenze njani zibuyele emuva mayibuyele emuva baye behambe bayobheka ukuthi zibuyele emuva kanjani ngoba izinto ziphelile azenzekanga ngithanga sesizungena kakhulu ezintweni esekukhulunywe ngazo lana sinenkinga la enkulu sihlalo sami sinentsha lana la eSouth Africa efundile ubonile sikade sise kulento yama-interview ka-NYDA intsha lapha bi-aplaye inqwaba ikhombisa ukuthi sihlalo ifundile ama-qualification ayo benawo kodwa kubona kuyakhombisa ukuthi ngempela ngempela abekho umuntu obanakele oba laba bantu abafundile kungcono ngalenako ukuthi bazoze baqashwe asiyibona-ke intsha kungcono kuthiwa nanke amapulazi thengele wona iyasebenza kunento engiphatha kabi i-chairperson uthole ukuthi umlungu angifuna ningangizwa kambi umlungu una-25 years kodwa lo mlungu use-ona amapulazi useyibhosi useqasha abantu uze uthole ukuthi uma uya kulelo pulazi noma kulelo farm uthola lapha i-youth yakithi ukuthi uma kuthi uyamlandela hawu lo muntu ufundanga uthi ayikho into engizoyenza usebenzela umlungu ongafundile njengaye umbuzo wami akukhona isihlalo ukuthi lana ke bebheke ukuthi okay lo muntu ufundile ufundele nayi le nto bamthathe lo muntu kuleyo yonto ayifundele bamvulele kuze naye aqashe abantu hhayi ukuthi afundele ukuthi uyoqashwa naye ke beyibhosi naye ebe umkhiqizi nazo izinto ezingiphatha kami okunye lana siyakule nto yesama-sanitize inkinga ekhona i-youth kwayona fana ngabe siyayibona ibhenefithile enye indlela le ngamanye amazwi yona yes i-COVID-19 imbi but sometimes i-youth phela nayo siyibone enzenjani ibhenefitha izobhenefitha kanjani na emakhaya sibone lapha yana la ngekho khona amaklinikhi kuthiwa nanke ifakelwe amakhonteni ugovernment khona uhlelo lukagovernment lana othola khona i-youth khona abayama ukuthi la bantu abangenawo amaklinikhi amaduze abantu bayakwazi ukuthi baye kuyona bathole ukusebenza kube nonke lezo nto inikezwe iyouth nemishini banikezwe bathunge chairperson and le nto ingiphatha kabi kabi thina nasinabantu abafunde kabi lana emhlabeni South Africa ne-youth eqeqeshiwe engasafani nathi thina esaba ney'nkinga phambili asiyiboneke leyo youth ngokuthi yona ifundile ayiyeke le nto ithi ifundele ukuthi iyoqashwa akayifundile nawe uqashe ube amabhosi njengabelungu abanikeza umhlaba babatholele umhlaba babanike noma ninkomo abafuna ukulima kanjani bababheke ukuthi okay lo muntu nangu kulo mkhakha babandise ke bebe nabo amabhosi siyadinga amabhosi babanikeze oganda kanti i-youth kuyimanje nala ngikhona nje ikhona na ekhiqizayo manje elimayo kodwa uthole ukuthi intambi ihambe icela lana kosomabhizinisi hambe iyotshala ngiyabonga sihlalo.
Thank you very much, Mam Kola. I think DM and Dr. Benis, you heard most of the questions from the honorable members. One thing that concerns the portfolio committee is rural development. On the plan, whether that your department has got a plan on how do you improve the lives of young people in the rural areas, and if you do have a plan or a program, what is it that you have done as the department? but also in relation to the new recovery economic plan that was announced by the president. What is it that your department is having in place to ensure that you, young people do participate in that economic recovery plan? But also that goes also to NYDA. I take it that maybe you have also made your input to that recovery plan as an entity that is representing the interest of young people. But where exactly do you think you are going to assist young people to benefit in all those big projects that are there? And how, if we have already identified companies in, or in, young entrepreneurs who are in that space that you think you are going to assist and ensure that they do benefit? Because it you know, when there's something that is introduced by government, we take it that the NYDA and the Department of Women, Dr. Penis, because I think you are the one who's responsible for youth issues. When those announcements are made, we take it that as the portfolio committee, you already have plans and you have already identified young people, because the NYDA does have a data, one way or the other. They do have a data. If they don't have a data, during this COVID, we're on level one now. Plans in place. No longer that one of training people over about Zoom.
Is the chair having technical issues or is it my network?
I think it's the chair. It said she left. Maybe she's reconnecting, I assume. But the technical team can check on our chairperson as to what's happening.
Honorable members, the chair has been kicked out by the ICT. Can Neliswa liaise with the ICT guys? But however, the chair requested that the NYDA can respond to the issues raised by the honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mgweba. I'll start responding to the question. So I think on the first one relating to changing of outcome, the NYDA does not have authority once the APP is approved and tabled to change any outcomes. I've been trying to check quickly if it all ties up, but if the researchers were to engage and just tell me where they feel there has been a change, I can check and make sure that it's 100% corrected. My apologies if there was a miswording on any of the outcomes. I just wanted to share the screen in relation to the chair's question around targets which are met and not met. Yeah? So just if we look at, we're saying that there's 10 targets met. There's 5 which are not met. 5 are exceeded. So in total, 15 met. And 5 are due in quarter number 4. And maybe it's this due in quarter number 4 that slightly changes or can be misinterpreted at times. So just to give an example is to say there's these two particular targets on training where there was no target required to be achieved by quarter number 2. However, work had already started because the lockdown was lifted earlier than we expected. So then those targets are reported as exceeded. So sometimes it's just an interpretation issue. However, if members feel we should not be reporting those targets as achieved, we should be keeping them as due in quarter number 4. It will decrease the targets met and exceeded to 3, and it will increase the targets due in quarter number 4 to 7. So it's just simply an issue of interpretation, I think. So that was that. In terms of catch-up, I think quite a few of the honourable members, including the chair, asked in relation to catch-up. So, I mean, if we look at quarter 1 to quarter 2, we've already seen some substantial progress. In quarter 1, we were under 50%. We've now gone close to 75%. So I already feel that the catch-up plans are starting to take effect in the way we're doing things. Equally, due to the time lost during the lockdown, we will work much later into December this year, and we will come back earlier in January as well. And that message has been conveyed to staff in the organization here. So we'll take a very short break in December to make up for time lost during quarter 1 and quarter 2. In addition, you know, there's really no shortage of demand for the NYDA services. And we continue to absorb that demand as far as possible, which gives me confidence that we will achieve the targets that we've set for the financial year. But equally, we must do it with the required quality. One must not achieve targets just for the sake of achieving targets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In relation to the filling of vacant posts, you know, I think there's two dynamics which I'm struggling with as the CEO. In the one element is to say, I don't feel good about people's contracts coming to an end in the middle of a pandemic. I genuinely don't feel good about what is happening. But equally, I'm the accounting officer of the agency, and to fill posts which you cannot afford to fund is a physically irresponsible decision, you know. And it's a decision which I have to take with a heavy heart sometimes. And that's the balancing act which one must try and do. Equally, Chair, as you've correctly expressed, the work does not go away. And I think the Portfolio Committee expects the level of work to continue at same or even higher levels, you know. And that additional work must be absorbed by the current management structure, you know, which increases the stress on people. But it's what we must do. We must live with the fact that this is the new normal, as they say, and we have to push harder for the sake of young people. You know, Honorable MPG is raising again the important question of informal sector. And you know, as government, I think we talk a big game on the informal sector. We were in a National and Steering Committee the other day, and we were just reflecting on how informal traders are often treated by local government officials, you know. Their goods are confiscated, they are removed, and often these people, they don't have bad intentions. They just want to earn income to put food on the table. Now the one thing we tried to do with the relief fund that was different to the other funds is to say we will reduce the compliance, right? So you don't have to be heavily compliant in that we would not penalize you if you are not registered for UIF. We can still support you, things like that. But we're also raising another debate here, right? Is to say, for example, we have seen the benefit that being registered for UIF provides to a business, because you can get the cost of your employees, you can claim that cost back from the state. It's protection, it's insurance protection for once in a lifetime problems that come about. So as much as the informal sector is important, we have to focus on formalizing the informal sector. Having a bank account is important for business because it means you have better access to government services, right? Being registered for UIF, we've mentioned, being registered for tax, for example. If you are making more money than the tax threshold, you should be paying tax into the fiscus, you know. So I think the next phase, now that we're moving out of relief, we are working with small business and the South African Revenue Service to say, let's try and formalize more informal enterprises because the benefits are both for government and for these informal traders in terms of access. But we have, through the relief fund, tried to support as many informal businesses, mainly through assisting them with the purchase of stock that they would not otherwise be able to access. Because obviously without a bank account, it's very hard to transfer any amount of money to an informal business. The relationship between the department and the NYDA, I think it's evolving. We're certainly working together. The department is attending our stress sessions. They will attend the audit committee meetings when there is one in place. And we're very, I mean, the DG in particular has been really supportive of the NYDA. And I truly appreciate the time she makes available to consult the NYDA. In terms of the contribution to the economic recovery plan, I think there was quite a few questions relating to this. So if we look at the president's economic recovery plan, right, I think that items 1 and 2 are the most important. So the first one is infrastructure has been prioritized. 1 trillion rand in infrastructure spend to get the economy going again. Now there's two areas, right? One is infrastructure will be run as public-private partnerships. So companies which win contracts for work done in infrastructure must, 1, subcontract work to youth and women-owned enterprises based on the set-asides recommended in the National Youth Policy. 2, between 80 to 90% of the staff that they employ must be young people. Young people are the majority in the unemployed, and young people must be the majority beneficiaries of both supply chain opportunities as well as employment opportunities emanating from the infrastructure fund. So that's number one. Number 2 is the president said mass employment, right? With 800,000 jobs available now, immediately. Now, if you look at the plan, 300,000 jobs are set aside for teachers assistants in basic education, which is one of the recommendations that the NYDA and the department have been making for a long time, right? So those are huge opportunities for young people. 800,000, of which the majority is set aside for young people, that is major opportunities. And the NYDA is definitely assisting, and I'll speak about how we are assisting to make sure that those programs are implemented and that young people are the major beneficiaries of them. And then I think another, there's other macro stuff, like the president spoke about the energy sector. We're running some really exciting energy projects with the provincial government in Mpumalanga. Sasol has come on board as a partner as well. So that there. And then I think the most important is what the president reflected on is a capable state, you know, a state that can deliver on these ambitious targets. And I fully hear honorable members when they say the weakness of the NYD in rural areas. And it's a matter which we need to engage on is how we better reach young people in these rural areas. I think a few questions on the land reform process as well. So how I look at agriculture, rural development and land reform is you cannot look at it in a silo, right? So you can't as NYDA say we are giving grant funding and that's where the story ends. For me, there's multiple touch points as it relates to building sustainable agriculture projects for young people. On the one hand, you have local government, which needs to be involved, including the Department of Agriculture, in the release of state-owned land for young people, or the release of land which is available for agricultural use to young people, and to make sure young people and young cooperatives are prioritized in that process. Yeah? 2, you need to bring the skills development authorities, the AgriCETA, on board in order to do the required training, mentorship, capacity building for those young people. 3, access to finance remains a major barrier, right? So the NYDA, we know we give grants and we know we're giving many grants in the agriculture space, but sometimes those grants are not enough, especially when it relates to capital equipment. So we have a partnership with the Land Bank to say, here's what we believe to be a solid business plan of a young person for an agricultural project. We can give the grant. You come in and you mix with the grant of your own, including potential funding through loans at preferential interest rates. Now you're building an ecosystem of many government players. And we must bring the private sector on board as well. So what we do from a market linkages perspective is we call supplier development programs within these rural areas, and we bring on board the big companies, the retailers, and we say, here's a young person who's producing spinach or tomatoes or beetroot or whatever. You need to integrate them into your supply chain, into your transformation priorities, so that they have a continuous access to market. And if we do this, and we've already done it for many projects across the country, if we do this at scale, we can help many young people have access to agricultural opportunities that can support it.
You haven't done it, CEO, or you have done it, because we have interest in this one, especially on the release of the state-owned land, which the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development have announced now. What we're expecting as the portfolio committee on this one, we are expecting the Department of Women and yourselves as NYDA, that by now you should be giving us a report that says you have assisted how many young people to apply, you know, to apply for that for that land that has been released by the Department of Agriculture, because that one is important for us. You know, I think that one, want yourself as the NYDA and the Department of Women through Dr. Benis to tell us on how many young people have you assisted in applying for that one. It's important because we can't miss this opportunity. Young people can't miss this opportunity, especially the ones that are in the rural areas. You have offices all over the country, ne? In 9 provinces. What are your offices doing in relation to this one? Mam Kaula, ungangena kancane.
Ngiyabonga. Ngibonge Chair. And Chair, sangathi uhambisana nami. Yingakho ngithi umhlonishwa lo mina ngiyilwi naye noma thina silwi naye. Okay, sisakhulunywa ngalo mhlaba ofuna kama-aplaywe, Chairperson. Ngisaphinda akahambe manje eye e-Eastern Cape uzobona umhlaba olele omuhle onamanzi oshoti ngezinto. Ahambe aye kondwedwe komaphumulo kompumalanga imhlaba elele engafuni ngisho u-aplayele othole ukuthi nabanikazi babo bashodi ngamandla. La ngathatha khona i-youth ifakwe khona ifuye iy'nkukhu ifuye iy'ngulube. Chairperson, ngithi mina engifuna ukukusho, ngiyazi yena uzothola ukuthi insight uyaplana ukuthi kwenzeke kanjalo. Umnyango waka-agriculture phansi kuma-province awufuni ukwenza lutho kusukela kuma-MEC. La bantu abakulama-portfolio aka-agriculture abafuni ukuthi basize i-youth phansi. Yonke le nto bafuna sigcine thina siyixoxa nithini sife njengoba vele sekuthiwa siphume intoni sibadala. Ifana exactly nale nto yaka-art and culture. Thina bantu abaningi abanamathalente kodwa abasizakali, abanye baze bathatha ukuzibulala. Lo munye izolo nje ade ngilele ekliniki ngiyozela kuyimanje ade sefuna ukuyibulala ngenxa yokuthi banabo amathalente abakwazi kwathola. Inkinga ithi uma ngabe kuphuma lezi zimali ziyaphansi kubantu kuyouth zosiza iyouth ngabe ikhuba zingabi njani, ukhona inomonithayo ukuthi ziyile yini o-MEC labantu abahlala kuma-portfolio committee abanjani labantu ababanikayo, zishiyonaphi lezi mali? Angikhulumi sithandwa sami ngalo mhlaba okhuluma ngawo ofuna ma-aplayela osazi amendwa kuphinde kuthiwa kuyabuyela. emakhaya kunemhlaba nje elele aba iyouth engasebenza ihluleka ngithe amabhule na 25 years anamaplazi bafundise ngisho craft work. Ngiyabonga Chairperson.
Okay, leyo impendulo kufanele siyithole na ku department because angithi bayi department of women, youth and persons with disabilities, so they'll have to respond on that one. What I wanted to see, CEO, is that you must also assist us as the portfolio committee, because we want to understand, to get clarity on whether as NYDA there are things that you are doing in assisting our young people, because all your 9 provinces by now, they should have been given instruction that they should assist young people on this one.
Yeah, 100% Chairperson. So whenever we receive information like that, we make sure it is distributed through the network, through our technology platforms, to make sure there's access. And that not only do the branches know about it, they must understand it so they can communicate it to young people. But equally, they must go back to young people they know have been inquiring about these things, and they must convey this information. We also expect all of our provincial offices to have relationships with the provincial departments, because we know that agriculture land reform is not only a national function, it's also a provincial function. It's also a local government function. So all these offices must have relationships both with the province and with the local government authority, because that cohesive working relationship means you unlock many benefits for young people. I fully agree that youth are struggling out there. Unemployment is high. It's really a difficult situation that the country, not only the country, the whole world is in at the moment, you know. And I think we are at pain. It doesn't feel good when the country is struggling like this year. We have to solve the unemployment crisis. We must rally behind the economic recovery plan of the president. We must build, or we must not build, we must implement the capable state in order to respond to these youth who are struggling. We have to solve unemployment in this generation. Yeah. Close up report on the 1,000 businesses, we will certainly share that. We're producing the glossy report, which we'll share with the portfolio committee. We commit we will have that ready before the end of the year. The presidency view on the 1,000 businesses. So the idea was that we should extend the 1,000 businesses into 2,000 businesses. Funding was initially set aside for it, but we could not receive that funding because the social relief distress grant was extended. So there had to be a trade-off on some of the projects, but we certainly intend running the project next year again. Information on SAYouth.mobi. So to respond to the Honorable Sharif, in the State of the Nation, a commitment was made to develop a national pathway management system. So, and that given that we needed to reach more young people, we would have to use technology as a tool in order to expand our reach, particularly in helping young people be able to create a profile for themselves, right? So this is not a database. I want to stress that this is not a database. Yeah, this is an opportunity for young people to create for themselves a profile as to what skills they have, where they are located, what has been their pathway through life, what are their qualifications thus far, so we can understand the need of young people, even though they may not be walking into an NYDA office around the country. A key component is we know data costs are high in South Africa. So a big portion of our work has been on making the site completely data free. Whether that means the telecoms companies, and MTN has already come on board to say they are prepared to make it data free. So if they are prepared to make it data free, it makes our problem much smaller. But if government must subsidize the cost, government is willing to subsidize the cost, because you can't expect young people to carry the cost of the data cost associated with it. Now, for many years, we've always had supply side, right? We've loaded many young people on databases, and then you load them and that's it. And often we forget about them. The point that's different about the pathway management network is creating opportunities on the demand side. So I've spoken about the demand side opportunities in the employment stimulus. And connecting young people with those opportunities is what you need to start achieving. Because when young people have access to opportunities, and these don't only have to be earning opportunities, it can be an opportunity to attend a course at a community college, or it can be an opportunity to register for the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. It's connecting young people with opportunities that is important. Lastly, it's about maintaining a communication channel with these young people. So often you go to a location and you speak to young people and you let them know about opportunities, and again, they don't hear from you again. Yeah. And Honorable Sharif, I know you are passionate about mental health of young people. It also contributes towards the mental health of young people, where they're given hope and that hope is sometimes taken away. Yeah. Now, the idea of the Pathway Management Network is to continuously give young people one, opportunities, but feedback. Yeah, so that they feel that there's somebody there who has their best interests at heart, and that they're continuously being kept in communication with, that this is not a trust deficit, because we have to repair that trust deficit between government and the citizens. Mental health for young people, 100% agreed. I've always said in this forum that I feel that NYD is more focused on the economic side of opportunities. I do think that lack of opportunities translates into mental health challenges for young people. I think it's distressing for young people to wake up and not have anywhere to go. And therefore, the programs in the economic side that contribute towards both employment and youth service, that give young people an opportunity to wake up and have somewhere to go every day, is very important, because I think that helps to build purpose and it helps with mental health challenges. If there are recommendations on what the NYD can do better on mental health particularly, I'm interested to hear those inputs, because I think we would be willing to implement programs that we think can certainly help. But beyond just fluffy things like campaigns, true programs that can have an impact on the mental health of young people. Poor expenditure for the National Youth Service, I think that's agreed. The National Youth Service is mainly funded through donor funding. The one is the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and the other one is the Flemish government. And we've been waiting authorization from those two departments to implement the projects which are funded. And therefore, I think we'll see that approvals have come through in the third quarter. So you'll start to see more spending on that program over the next couple of months. Low spending on training and projects. I think, you know, during the lockdown, there was the skills development programs that were face-to-face, particularly were lower. As they pick up, we started really intensively implementing training programs. We'll again start to see training and projects pick up. Codes on good practice for disabilities. We advertise all our posts to be gender sensitive, disability sensitive, and also youth sensitive. We should be leading in hiring young people, young women, and young people living with disabilities. Rural areas. So I will keep applying my mind to the rural area question. Yeah, and I don't think we don't care about them. We truly do care about all young people in South Africa, but particularly those that are poor, vulnerable, and marginalized. I think data free is one way to start reaching rural areas. I think collaborations with local municipalities is another way to reach rural areas. I think we need to think a little bit more about how we implement. We've expanded our offices from 15 to 34 in the last few years. And we've gone into many more districts that we were not in before. Now, I will be honest with the committee in that I think we have run out of runway to open new offices. I don't think the budget at the moment allows for opening of new offices here. So the question is, what can we do to reach more young people in rural areas? I've mentioned the two, the data-free opportunities. The one I think is particularly easier is perhaps, if not an office, at least an information desk on youth in every local municipality, and if not a local municipality, a local library at least. And I think that can potentially help beyond the current NYD offices to give access to information that can help young people in rural lives, rural areas improve their lives. But as we present the strategy to you, we're going through the strategic planning process now. I will certainly engage the department and other stakeholders on how we reach these marginalized young people in rural areas, which is a matter that we take very seriously as NYDA. Chair, I think I've responded to all of the questions. If there's anything else, please feel free to let me know.
CEO, the one area, through you, Chair, the one area that maybe was asked, I think, two times on CAPEX was why is there an overspend on CAPEX? Obviously, we at the end of the financial in the second quarter, and they should not be okay. So obviously, there's
Repeat yourself.
I was trying to just explain that the CAPEX, the overspend is due to the four outreach vehicles that we actually had to procure in the first quarter. So obviously the budget is set up in that when you do the comparative, you actually divide by 12. And obviously there's certain expenditures we do in the initial okay, so that budget overspend should normalize going forward. The I've been in and out even during when Uche CEO was explaining, and the network is just not my apologies.
Okay.
We are working, Chair. We are working on youth development issues.
I think one thing that I didn't hear it coming out clearly is the training. CEO.
Yeah, the training of young people, Chair. So obviously it was quite strict social distancing requirements up to August. Since those have been relaxed, training is up and running. It's happening every day in the branches. The apprenticeship programs are also running. Internships and learnership programs where we're partnering with the CETAs are running. So you're going to see a lot more training coming out of the NYDA for the next few months. Yeah, and it's being done in a safe
environment. We want you to go on public, talk about these things, because now it's like you are in ICU. We don't see you most of the time, whether on SABC or we don't hear anything about NYDA now. So please come back to our people.
Well, Chairperson, the comments are certainly noted.
Okay. At department, Dr. Penis.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me respond to some of the questions which have been raised. There was a question which was raised regarding the National Youth Policy, whether it was approved or not. The Deputy Minister in her remarks mentioned that the National Youth Policy has been approved by Cabinet. And there was also another question from Honorable Mbiti regarding the consultation process. I did not hear the last part, whether it is the consultation process of the National Youth Policy or the consultation process of the NYDA bill. But then let me speak to both.
The NYDA bill. Talk about the NYDA bill. When is it coming to Parliament?
Okay. We have now already presented the NYDA bill to the clusters, economic cluster, to the development committee of JCPS, which is security cluster, and also to GC cluster. So we are now heading to cabinet on the 4th of November. We will be presenting the NYDA bill to cabinet, and once it is approved, it is going to be approved as a discussion document. Once it is approved, then we are going to be opening it up for consultations, and then we are going to integrate the comments and inputs, refine the bill, and then from there we are going to go back to cabinet to present it for approval to be tabled in Parliament. Our view is that before the end of the financial year in March, we should have already tabled the bill in Parliament. So let me just conclude by saying that we will finish the portfolio committee with the activity plan with clear timelines on what is going to be done with regard to the NYDA bill. And then the other comment was in relation to our involvement with the Department of Agriculture and Land Reform. In this regard, let me say that when the Director General, the DG, joined us, one of the tasks that she did was to have bilateral meetings with various DGs. And amongst the DGs that we have actually met is the DG of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform. And we are now having, as the department, weekly meetings with the Department of Agriculture Land Reform. And the DGs have actually endorsed that a memorandum of agreement should be in place. And one of the issues that the memorandum of agreement is actually looking at is to look at the whole issue of agriculture and agro-processing and how young people, women and persons with disabilities will benefit from that. And the undertaking that we received from from the Department of Rural Development, Agriculture and Land Reform is that they are going to ensure that 50% of women benefit, 40% of youth benefit, as well as 7% of persons with disabilities. And a tangible project that the department has actually worked on is the Department of One Woman, One Hectare. And we are saying that the percentage of hectares of land allocated should also be aggregated by proportion of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And the proportion is 50-47 respectively.
How are you going to monitor that? How are you going to monitor the implementation as the department?
As the department, we are busy developing the status monitoring as well as compliance tools, which we are going to use generally to monitor the work of different government departments. And this will also include even with this project, One Woman, One Hectare.
You're still not finished with the monitoring plan.
In the youth sector, we have got a cabinet approved MNE framework, which has got indicators as well as tools.
And then right now as a department, we are working on the integrated monitoring and evaluation plan, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, I think we are going to invite the department so that you can come and share that one that has been approved by the cabinet.
Because yes, thank
you. We are serious about this and we want to monitor all departments, including provinces. Including provinces. I see the challenge like myself, including provinces. We are starting at the portfolio committee, Dr. Penis, that we are going to call provinces. MECs will come and account on all the issues that the portfolio committee is going to have interest, is having interest on. So youth unemployment and empowerment is one of the priorities of us as the portfolio committee. That's why I'm asking you all these questions.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. And we are ready to come and present on the cabinet approved M&E framework to the portfolio committee.
Yeah, so we'll be on your neck, ne?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the second issue is with regard to reaching out to young people in the rural areas. The department is now, we have actually submitted to the minister a project on 4IR, and we have even reached out to the National Youth Development Agency for partnership in this regard. The project seeks to actually train young people in the areas of 4IR, and we are targeting mainly young people in rural areas. The other project which we is going to also be a partnership between our department as well as GIZ and the NYDA is on the national resilience initiative. So that project is also going to be addressing the issue, the mental health issues which are experienced by young people. So that is actually the two projects which we think that they will actually be the flagship projects that will be rolled out to young people. And there was also a question on participation in the new economic recovery plan. This was also raised when cabinet was actually approving the national youth policy. They recommended, because that was on the eve of the president announcing the economic recovery plan, they recommended that we should also make sure that we include in the national youth policy the economic recovery plan. And in that regard, we are busy doing that. But then just yesterday, when we were part of the NYDA strategic planning session, the DG even requested the NYDA that they should actually send representation so that they can actually be part even of infrastructure development program and the entire economic recovery plan committee. And there was also a comment on how are we ensuring that young people are benefiting from this project. I think Chairperson, let me say that in that regard, we will take it as a comment which ourselves as a department and the NYDA, we will really take forward to make sure that we ensure that young people participate from the economic recovery plan. And there was also another question from Honorable Mbiti on the role of the youth unit in the department and the relationship to the NYDA. The CEO in his presentation alluded to the fact that we already have a shareholder performance agreement which has been signed by Minister. It articulates clearly the roles and the responsibilities of the department as well as that of the NYDA. But let me remind Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members that sometime last year in the Portfolio Committee, the chairperson actually mentioned that they will invite the department and the NYDA to come and present on the role, and we are also ready to actually present on that clearly so that we can even get a further guidance from the portfolio committee members. But on which partnerships have actually worked between ourselves as a department and the NYDA and which ones haven't worked, the NYDA has always been involved in development of the national youth policy, although it is the primary responsibility of the department. So there we have actually worked very well with the NYDA. The other project that we worked very well with the NYDA was when we were developing the NYS framework, the National Youth Service Framework. The department developed this framework, but then we handed it over to the NYDA to implement and also to coordinate, to ensure coordination of this of implementation with various stakeholders. The other key projects entail when we were conducting the 25-year review. It actually started as far back as when we conducted the 15, 20, and the 25-year review. We were actually working very closely with the National Youth Development Agency in developing the youth chapter. And
when are you going to present it to the portfolio committee?
Can the chairperson please repeat what requires to be presented to the portfolio committee?
The national youth policy that we are done with it.
Yes, it has been, national youth policy has been approved by cabinet. We are done with it.
So what I'm saying, when is it going to be presented to the portfolio committee?
So we are available at your convenience, chairperson.
Oh, okay.
At the convenience of the portfolio committee, we are available.
Okay.
It's in PTR, and I'm coming on this matter right now.
All right.
I had asked a question that I don't think was answered, and my question simply was about the fact that the NYP, the department is saying that they have completed the NYP and that it's been approved by cabinet. And so I want to know from the department, are they saying that they are satisfied with the process of the two young people? And I'm also asking that, do they feel that they've done the necessary work in terms of the consultation? And the second thing that I asked was about the timeline. What is the timeline of the NYP going forward? What is planned? And if they can answer that, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Honorable Mbiti. The National Youth Policy, as I've already said, it has been approved by Cabinet. And we are of the view that we have consulted adequately. There is a consultation report which we processed with the National Youth Policy to Cabinet. So we can also provide the Honorable Portfolio Committee members with the consultation report. We also took into account the request for extension for consultations from young people and even from members of the Portfolio Committee. And then we had since extended the consultation process. So the consultation report outlines the stakeholders that we have consulted and also the medium that we actually used in consulting the various stakeholders.
Okay.
Invite
you for a meeting. Fine.
Okay. Thanks. And then also on the issue of time frames and the plan going forward, we are also ready. We can actually present a written activity plan which shows how we will be taking the national youth policy going forward. We have already mentioned that one of the key issues which the portfolio committee members should take note of, which the DM mentioned in her remarks, is that within 4 months of approval of the national youth policy, the MNE framework will be updated. and then the integrated youth development strategy will be developed by the NYDA.
Okay. Jay, can I come back quickly on something?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, and thank you for making that document available to us. But I think also what I would really like to also see is from those consultations that the department has said that they are confident that the consultation process was sufficient, I want to know the comments that then were made in those type of platforms, in those consultation spaces, and the integration of those comments into the document. Is there perhaps a way that you can just be able to explain that to us as to how it took place, whose comments were included, whose comments were not, because essentially the document has now already been approved. So I'm just trying to understand how the department then integrated the comments into the document. Also, you have to also remember that there was a submission process that was given to young people by the department, where young people had the opportunity to send their inputs via email, and I remember that information being sent out by the department. So there's also those inputs as well that I think would be very vital for us and critical for us to know exactly how those inputs were dealt with and how they then became integrated in the document. And I think that will then go hand in hand with what the department has said about being confident about that this document that has already been approved by Cabinet is a document that is reflective of the consultations that have taken place. And so I think it becomes very important for us to know that information as you know, I was one of the members who called for the extension of that process. To then be able to respond back should there any be questions from NGOs, youth sector stakeholders who consistently reach out to us as honorable members on this committee, and we need to be able to know exactly what is happening. So I really would appreciate that information from the department so that we can be able to take it forward. Thank you.
I think that one can be done when they are called for that special meeting, so that they can give us the whole report. Dr. Benitez, we are going to schedule a meeting for your department, so that we can come and make a presentation on the whole process of the National Youth Policy since from its inception. Up until where we asked you to extend dates, because we didn't ask you to extend dates once. I think we asked you to extend dates three times, if I'm not mistaken. So when you come to make a presentation on the whole process of National Youth Policy, you need to collaborate or include all the other things that Honorable Mpithi have raised now, so that you give us a full detailed report rather than giving us pieces of that thing. We want the full report on the whole process that you went through in relation to that. Give us even how many comments did you receive, whether civil society organization or individuals. You need to give us a full detailed report. On that day, we'll be having enough time, because the item will be focusing on that National Youth Policy alone. So you'll have enough time in relation to that. And I see Honorable Masiko's hand is up, and Honorable Songo's hand is up, and Mam Kaula. But I also want to, the other matter that we have interest in, CEO, you will pardon me if maybe you did spoke about it. How is the your the relationship with your donors now, or your partnerships with the private sector, especially this time, because you know, business is also affected by COVID. Whether you still receive donations or not, we are not sure. May you also respond to that one. And then I want, Honorable Mastigo, is your hand up?
No, Chair, it's not up. I think it's the first time I forgot to lower the switch.
Honorable Flomo, is your hand up? Honorable Flomo?
No, Chair, my hand is not up.
Throw it away behind.
Lower it, yes. Lower your hand. Okay. Mam Kaula, your hand was up. I saw your hand.
Ngibonge Sihlalo, angisazi ukubambezela kakhulu. Ngiqondisa kancane lapha kumhlonishwa uDr. Benisi. Ukuthi uma ngabe mhlambe njengoba usho nje ukuthi kuzoba khona lana esizokwazi sesikhuluma ngqo ngepolicy ye-NYDA. Bengifuna ukwazi lana ukuthi njengale youth yasemakhaya like njengase kompasha kongqamakho komqandulo uthole ukuthi kuneyingane iyouth eyikhulule emathoyilethi engenayo into ekhombisayo ukuthi inakiwe leya youth ngabe yasema-high school bona yini abangasiza ngayo ukuthi bangenelele lula daba ukuthi nabo bazibone bengabantu bala e-South Africa nokuthi-ke iy'ndawo enjeyana kube kwaziwe ukuthi yini ababalekelela ngayo ukubheka ukuthi umnyango leya youth yalapho ingakhuli iyayibona ukuthi yona iyona i-part and parcel yala e-South Africa nalokhu kokuthi kokugcina. Chairperson, sangathi ngathi mama ngabe mangabe bekuthiwa khona imihlangano abayenzayo benze show ukuthi emakhaya mabazi first ukuthi kuney'ndawo la ama-redo khona nangekho nhlobo kuney'ndawo lapho okwaziwa khona ukuthi even kwalobo 350 ababazi nokuthi uma be-aplay ba-aplaywa kanjani especially emakhaya ngiyibonile iy'ndawo ey'njalo yizinto zonke lezi engizofuna ukwanga singalo sikhuluma ngokuthi sithuthukise i-youth kodwa sibe sihlula into elula nje sekhona i-youth esafundela odakeni i-high school sifundela eminyango ake siqale ukubona bethuthukisa yona kuqala. Ngiyabonga sithando sami.
Thank you very much Mamkhawula. Honorable Mpithi, is your hand up?
Yes, Chair. I know that you were handing back over to the CEO, but I just wanted to throw in a question quickly that it's not similar to yours, but if you can allow me. Going back to the relief fund, you know, just looking at that the disbursement of funds to businesses, you know, I'm trying to understand just if I'm correct, but my understanding is that the NYDA has approved 1,027 businesses to receive a relief fund, having received 8,558 applications. That then being 12% of you know, in terms of the people who've received the funding. And I just wanted to understand those numbers quickly because it's according to the presentation, that's an amount totaling 8.4 million. So what was the initial, you know, budgeted amount for this money? And depending on that answer, why is it that the disbursement is at 12%? I mean, that's quite low. So I'm just concerned about that. What are the challenges that are happening there in terms of those businesses getting support? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpithi. I see, CEO, you have posted something here. Now I'm getting tempted to ask you questions, but it's fine. You can respond.
Okay, no thanks, Chair. I'll start with Honorable Impedi's question. So the slide reflects the disbursements up to the end of quarter number two, which is end of September. So indeed, Honorable Impedi is correct. 1,027 applications approved to the value of 8.4 million. Now, the fund was initially set up as 10 million and we intend to disburse the full 10 million. It'll probably be done by the end of October. So there's two things that happened. I mean, obviously, I agree, 12% is what we disbursed. Probably we might hit 15, 16% once all the final disbursements are done. But it means there's a large amount of rejections on the fund. One, either because compliance is lacking, or two, because there's just not enough money. Now, in the economic stimulus, we were approved for additional 30 million for the relief fund. But as I've mentioned, that was subsequently withdrawn by the Treasury to fund the social distress relief. It's a trade-off that we need to understand. What we will do as NYDA is we're now going to go into a half-year process. So after we present quarter two, we analyze all of the targets. We reanalyze the budget to see whether there's any adjustments that need to be made. If there's money that may be left over from other programs, we'll see how we can boost the fund with some extra resources to be able to maybe perhaps reach more young people. But I don't see it getting more than 5 million rand in order to be able to boost the fund. So that's where we are at the moment, Chair. And then on your point around donors, look, I mean, none of the donors have pulled out, which is very useful. So our key partners, Standard Bank, Coca-Cola, are still implementing their projects. In fact, a lot of them are putting more money into projects, which is really commendable. And then we have really two exciting projects in the pipeline. One is with the European Union on a kind of a challenge fund for young entrepreneurs. And the other one is with the Aspen Institute in the United States and the East Equini Municipality, as well as Accenture in South Africa around a jobs and skills program for young people. Oh, and sorry, one more. The German Development Corporation, as Dr. Bernice mentioned, is also keen on doing two projects in the youth space. So there's a lot of pipeline projects. It's getting them approved and getting them implemented that sometimes takes time, but we're pushing as hard as we can to get them implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Dr. Bernice, you want to respond to Mam Kaula?
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Mam Kaula raised the concern on involvement of young people in rural areas. And, you know, that is actually the objective of the youth policy, because we would want to see young people who are developed, empowered, so that they can become contributing members of the society. And we target young people who are mostly disadvantaged, especially young people in rural areas, young women, youth with disabilities. You know, these are some of the target groups that we are focusing on. The youth policy also articulates on the various programs that needs to be in place in order to empower young people. We articulate on skills program that needs to be in place in order to empower such young people. We also articulate on the issue of rural and township economy, where young entrepreneurs, including those in rural areas, they have to be supported. And then because we actually monitor the relevant departments that are responsible for delivering such programs. So this would also include departments such as social development when it comes to the issue of substance abuse, which is alcohol and drug abuse, which Mam Kaula mentioned that it is a challenge. And then on other programs, economic programs, it will also include the NYDA and other programs such as Department of Public Works, as well on how far we are actually doing with regard to youth development. I think basically that is what Mam Kaula also mentioned. So the issue of the 30% set aside, including on land allocation as well as agriculture development, it is also targeting young people who are in rural areas. And in that regard, we have advocated for 40% set aside for young people. Thanks. No, Chairperson.
The 40 president. Mama. So when Uzangaya ye 40 manje, soon we're confused.
We are getting there. We are not only talking about conceptualization. I've already mentioned that we are having weekly meetings with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in this regard. So they we hope that we will actually come and present the tangible results which come from those meetings.
Okay. In the meeting where we are going to invite you, it's going to be soon. It can be next week. We'll want you to also bring us a report on how are you monitoring other departments on whether they do deliver on what is expected on youth development and empowerment. So just prepare all that so that you will be able to respond. To tell us what is it that you're doing as the department. I see your hand is up.
Yes, Chair. My hand, I wanted to emphasize one or two things. Okay. I'm happy that now a decision has been taken that the NYDA or the department will have to prepare a report on the consultations of the National Youth Policy 2020 to 2030. I think it is important given the fact that we had to extend the timelines at the request of Parliament to ultimately come back to the portfolio committee to say, yes, we extended, we were here, these are outcomes. That I think that is fair enough. And also even the timeline, the shortest timeline possible, it is important for us so as to focus on this implementation phase we are all in, because if you look at the debate that has taken place with regard to virtually what we are supposed to, how we're supposed to influence virtually all the departments, as the portfolio committee has asked on agriculture and other sectors within the economy, priority sectors, tourism, and so on, including mining. We have to come back and really be clear about the strategy. I think for the department, what we need to do as we work and try to cooperate with other departments again, we have to bring in a sense of agency and a transformative element. I think that was the spirit of cabinet as well. We can't come out of those meetings without clear service level agreements that for you, for instance, when it comes to agriculture, we can say we're looking at a 50% target, and yet the opportunities could be even at 80, where there's ample land, there are ample opportunities, young people are unemployed, they could start at a very high level. So and I think both the department and the NYDA should plan to assist the portfolio committee and get more guidance on the strategy of implementation. And the monitoring and evaluation, again, it's very, very important, because we are looking for different outcomes. So it should be structured that what is approved should give us different results. I mean, I've been tracking, for instance, Honorable Sikile Maseko's questions, which really it's an expectation that when we present, our report shouldn't be gender neutral, and geolocation or disability neutral, we should be able to say where, when we account for this period, this quarter, this is what, how women benefited, young people, those in rural areas benefited. And hopefully when the department presents, or the NYDA could make an effort to really come up with a strategy of reaching out to rural youth, because it's not only around agriculture. It's also just virtually, there are different pressing issues. When you look at village tourism, community tourism, those are issues where the NYDA should guide the Department of Tourism and be in the forefront of that struggle. Umam Kaula keeps on looking at Otu, Jwa Ombasha. There are factories that were closed down in the old Siskai, where we need to be in the forefront in terms of saying, let's open this for our youth. So the questions that honorable members are raising, they really call for a sense, a different way of positioning the entity, and make sure that we come up with different results, taking advantage also even of the posture of the sixth administration, where they don't want things to continue and be business as usual. They are really looking at different outcomes from all what we've done. So I just wanted to say, we will also, as a department, hopefully, Dr. B, you'll brief the minister fully, and I'm here, I've heard all what has been said, and we will expect presentations, both offices soon, whether at different time from both your section and the NYDA. I always say our offices are open for consultation, but we have to regularize them, CEO, whether it's fortnightly or monthly, our offices are really open so that we assist the portfolio committee in the struggle they are in, because it's in line with the aspirations of the sixth administration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, the CEO has posted something on the site, on the chat. A bot, if you can open there, I have already seen Lucky, a guy who lives with a disability, and he has benefited from the NYDA. So I think also that DM, you are covered, because I can see that at least they can give us evidence of what is it that they are doing in relation to issues to people living with disability. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting article. You can just open it, honorable members, and see yourself. It's in Sowetan. If you can just click on that one, you will see it. I think we have come no other question. Members are satisfied with what was presented before us. Then, honorable members, thank you very much, DM, for your attendance. Thank you very much, honorable DG. I don't know whether the DG is still here. Thank you very much.
Sorry, the DG at post. Ngithi ngiyakhuluma, but bengimutile, sorry.
Oh, okay. Do you want to say anything?
No. Just to say, we note all the questions that you've asked, and we are definitely trying our level best to assist NYDA.
And just to promise the chair that I do meet with the CFO, and as the minister, the deputy minister has indicated that even in terms of the ARC, now that they don't have the board, we are assisting with that. So we, I am as a director general, I am trying to ensure that everything is in order.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Titi. Thank you very much. Thank you. We understand CEO and CFO that you are working under duress and you are going to be frustrated more. Mm-hmm. I don't know, DG and DM, how can we help them? Because when you look at the post that they are unable to fill, it's a challenge for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far can you help them as the department.
I think it's not even about the fact that they don't have a board, that they're not going to fill. Also, the cutting of the budget of the compensation of employees, because for them it's even worse. The National Treasury is cutting worse for them. So I spoke to the CEO that we need to approach the National Treasury for this mass employment budget that they've been giving to other government departments. So in that way, they can't give them the budget to implement and not include a budget for persons to be employed in that. So that would be the option, because in terms of employing people for the next 3 years, we can't employ anybody. In fact, we need to reduce the employment of persons. So that is the biggest challenge. But the solution would be to approach the jobs fund. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, DG.
No, Mama, Kachoglim.
As it's only a specific cases, Zabantu Labo Abba Applaile, Besses the Abono Wutis Basis Aranjan, Wutis Batumele, China Mam Kaula, as honorable members, as the same way we do on how do we help other people who are saying they don't get assistance from them. But China, when we say, okay, bring isn't through Uneliswa, Abantu, when they submit to Uneliswa, we are able then to forward those applications to them. Because sometimes abanye batiba apply lepenga applyang, but China now there was law, which when they submit to us, we are able then to forward to relevant departments. And we do get positive results. Because after that, they end up coming back and saying, they do report back to us, we've assisted Umam Kaula, we've assisted Ubani, we've assisted Ubani. So it's easy that way. Then we see it generalized, because sometimes abanye abantu basikhovisa udaba uthi check up system, uthole ukuthi labo bantu bebanga applyang. But at least among other kind of documents, there's evidence. But I'm going to apply in Mbela, we are able to, you know, this is how we've been doing it. So let's continue doing that, honorable members.
Even if Baguaz in the apply a chairperson, about not to apply a group in Kuluma Bandmaster Makai. The Ababona Light Drop and Banning, Emakaya in Kinga Corner. Awukho laba yakhona bayoshuthi abafuna sinabenze njani kuze bathole imali emakhaya kiwa sithando sami.
Okay. The City Portfolio Committee will prioritize rural areas. But let's identify exactly ukuthi ama places namkhawula where we say esizothi kuwe City Portfolio Committee mhlambe endaweni ethize. Yabo? So that when we give it department, we would end up when it is when people are going to be about to we are both the court department. End up when it is, we are both more than abo. I think about how no good things we are going to be able to do. Immobilization or about Kulman or Miango, we are going to province or the languages of the city. Asambe now, we are both going to be able to do all these things. Now Maguba Kona Ozazio, who would have been down a teaser and down a teaser, Maskulu outside the meeting, Bessia Konukumane Department, including ENYDA, no DM, at least she's part of our meeting, and then she knows they are being deployed also as cabinet members. Oguti, they must go to all the areas, but assist our people in whatever assistance our people they need. So maybe let's just, yeah.
Okay. I want to say something.
La, kuna at corner. What? Let all of us, because even Honorable Mpiti, myself, Honorable Masondo, Honorable Masiko, most of the members, Honorable Mgweba, we have done that. When people are raising issues with us, we say, let us guess what, or Faga, Ingwa, this says, Tata to Zmigise, and Avant Bagitiba Konosizaga. But after a meeting, the department is over to me.
Yes. I just wanted also to add to what you were saying here, because as a department, I mean, as a director general, I met no director general with Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development with the officials, so that we develop indicators. When they allocate land, what is it that they should look at? Like also 50% women, 30% for youth, 5% for persons with disabilities. But also we had a meeting with them, rural women's development, landness, women's movement, YAGA-GM, sorry, I forgot the name. But so that we look at how can we assist people even in the rural areas to be able to apply. So Indobe Ibuzwa, Honorable Kaula, it's something that we've been working with the Department of Agriculture, just to say that we're working on it.
Yeah.
Nesawit was also involved, yeah.
Maybe also because I'm not even showing a closing date at Department of Agriculture in terms of the pocket of land that they have released a DG. If it's possible, but if we feel strong as members of this portfolio committee, which maybe the message has been reached out to our people, especially in the rural areas, and ask for an extension of the day. You know,
yes.
That can also be helpful, because if we don't do it, Tina, as elected representatives, then that means that opportunity will be missed by our
own. Yes.
Why? One, they are not exposed to issues about TV and so on. Maybe sometimes they don't even understand the language. Nebuti, how do you access the information? Based on those things, we can request it for extension, I'm sure, to through your assistance with DM, let's look at that and see how can we help our community.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, DM and DG and CFO and CEO. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members. We will be calling you. Nelly, so you must make sure that you give us the date for that meeting, and also the meeting of the provinces. Maybe we did not inform you, or we did inform you, I'm not sure, DM, DG, we are going to invite all provinces to come and account on that program, Yama Sanitary Dignity, on how they utilize the money and departments in their provinces, because there's no uniformity in terms of guidelines that were drawn on the framework that were drawn by and adopted by cabinet on what is it that needs to be done. We also want to check on our development, if progress made with regards to that one. So we are going to inform you on when that meeting will take place. Unelisa, I think by now she should be having a date, and we'll take it like that. It also, even other departments and the issues that we're discussing today, the transformation agenda on youth issues affecting young people and the economic empowerment. We'll also do the same because we can see if we don't do that, nobody is going to monitor on what is happening on the ground. But thank you very much, CEO. We take it that the department is going to assist you, and the commitment that is made by the DG today, I think we appreciate it very much that you are going to be assisted in terms of the staff that you need in your entity, because Ngempela, with the skeleton staff, in fact, that means you are going to have a lot of things that you are not going to be able to achieve at the end of the day. With those words, honorable members, thank you very much. I think the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Long live the chairperson.
Long live the department.
Long live.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye.
Not long live. The ones that are not now.
Hi, long live. We chairperson, Mam Kaun.
Yeah, chairperson, long live.
Yes.
Long live.